And as a kind of a quick reminder, we gave you the five, you know, kind of one-word descriptions of what those commitments were last week. But as a quick refresher, let's list those out again. Last week, we began with worship and this commitment to weekly worship with your church family. Today, we're going to talk about service. And then the next 3 weeks, we'll be talking about friendship, giving, and group. Now, as I said, we are going to unpack those, explain what each of those mean week to week. And so we're going to deal with them one at a time. And again, if you see something on there that you don't know how you're going to deal with or that you might be a little worried about, don't worry about it. We'll get there. And we're going to deal with these one at a time and let God guide us and speak to us on each topic. But as I said, these are directly tied to not only our own personal spiritual growth, but our growth as an entire church body. If we would commit to and live each one of these things out, all of us within the body of the church, it would have a profound impact, I think, on our health and vitality. On top of that, these are all very biblically sound and informed commitments. There's nothing in here that says, I commit my undying allegiance to Pastor Matt. No, there's nothing. There's nothing. In fact, I want these commitments to go far beyond the person who's offering them to you. That's not, I just happen to be the voice. In fact, all of these commitments are things that I, as your pastor myself, need to seriously pray about and consider and examine in my own life. You would think that a pastor is just my job to be committed to these things, but we can get more committed to certain things than others sometimes. And so I am as needing a refresher and a recommitment on some of these things as you are. But last week we began by taking a look at this commitment to worship, and we looked at what worship is and the importance of worshiping together as a church family. And we looked at that first commitment, which was, with God's help, I commit to worshiping one day weekly with my church family. Now, I would say that those of you who were here last week, many of you are here today, you are the ones who have committed to that. And so I thank you for that commitment. I thank you for your faithfulness to that. That's why you were here then, and that's why you're here now. And so I pray that as we continue that commitment, we will grow together in that as we worship together. And this week, our focus is on serving in the church. God calls us not only to worship Him together as a church family, but He also calls us to love and serve one another within that family. And so the focus, the kind of challenge and commitment we're going to look at this week can be summed up this way. Commitment number two is finding one area of ministry service within your church family. And so for that, our focus, scripture-wise, is going to be Ephesians chapter 4, one of the more well-known teachings of Paul in regards to this, in regards to gifts and serving. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, we'll have it right up there on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 7 and then jump down and read verses 11 through 16, and then we're going to pray. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, in the faith and mature, then we'll toss back and forth about ways of every wind, become in every respect the mature body head for him, the whole body and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this second commitment, this second challenge, we pray together that you would that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to where it is that you might be calling us. That we wouldn't just get involved to get involved, although it's important to be involved in the church. We want to be purposely involved in your church body. As we seek to use the gifts and talents that you've given us, may you give us the grace to find where those fit best within your body. And as we read here that Paul said, it takes every single one of us doing it our part to bring us to full maturity, for us to grow up, for us to be like Jesus. And so we pray that as we look at this, as we look at the reasons why this is important, as we look at the life of Jesus, that you would show us in our lives what that might look like, where that commitment might come and bear fruit. And if we're just not sure, that you would begin to open doors, that you would bring people to us, that you would lead us to others where we can find our place to plug in and place to be involved. Because if we are committed to being faithful to you and being a healthy and growing and vibrant church, we know that that's what we need to do and need to be. And so we pray that you would, again, open our minds, open our hearts to hear what you would have to say to us, and that you would give us the grace to take those steps that we need to take in obedience to you. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen. So how many of you have ever heard something like this or said? So maybe not in this, at least bits and pieces. Let's talk about serving in church. I mean, isn't the church supposed to serve me? Church. I enjoy worship. I'm committed to, you know, I didn't have any problem committing to the first one, being here every week. I love the singing. I love the music. I love seeing our kids up here on the platform. I feel God when we pray over messages. I always say that. It's great seeing everybody and catching up. I love that aspect of it. But I just don't know about the serving thing. And besides, I don't really know what I could do to serve the church. And on top of that, you don't know how busy I am. I work umpteen hours a week. I've got a house and a family I've got to keep up. I've got all these outside things that keep me busy. I just don't have a lot of time. I guess, if I was completely honest, I would just rather show up and do what the church has to offer rather than get involved with myself. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said something like that? Well, I've got to tell you that there are a lot of people all over the country that feel that same way. They may not say it that bluntly, but the reality is they would rather come and be served than to serve. Church, they feel this way. Church is not necessarily about what I can do for the church, but what the church can do for me. They're not so much interested in serving the church as they are in the church serving them, which, of course, is one of the things here is to serve you. But you know, interestingly, one of the ways to serve you is by giving you opportunities to serve yourself. And if you already enjoy church life without serving, well, I have great news for you. Church life only gets better when you get involved. It's like anything else we do in life, you get out of it really what you put into it. And if the church is a family, and if you aren't involved in serving that family and you're having trouble feeling like you're a part of it, that might be a part of the problem. Now, there's all sorts of reasons for that. We'll talk about that as when we get close to the end, but if you're not serving, it can be hard to feel like you're really a part of that family. But once you get involved in that, once you find that place, you find that the relationships deepen. You find that you love your church family more and more, in spite of the fact that sometimes when you get deeper involved, you see some of the things that you were aware of that existed in the church family. But it's like any other family. The deeper you are involved in it, the deeper your love grows. And this morning, what we're going to talk about is that specific aspect of serving in the church. And I want us to look at two biblical reasons why every single one of us should find a place to serve in the church. Why should you serve your church family? Well, for the first reason, we go right to the source himself, to Jesus. Because we find from the Gospels, this is a theme that's echoed over and over again, is that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. It's a theme that we don't just see in the Gospels, we see the New Testament writers and the epistles. Jesus demonstrated this in his own life. In fact, he testified to this. He didn't just use words, he actually demonstrated it. In Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Think about that for a moment. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I love how John introduces him in the epilogue, or the beginning, or the prologue. Epilogue is the end, isn't it? Prologue. "He was with God in the beginning, and he was God. All things were made through him. There's nothing that has been made that it was made without him. And all things were made to serve God in his glory. And as the Son of God, Jesus, by extension, we do all things for him in his glory as well. And when he came into the world as the Son of God, he had every right to expect to be served. By all rights, we should have been the ones who waited on him hand and foot, tending to his every need, putting his needs before our own. That was his right as the Son of God. But when he came into the world, he set aside his rights as God." Those rights that he had, he did not cling to. When he came into the world, as Paul tells us in Philippians, he did not consider his nature as the very Son of God. He did not consider that something to hold on to and use for his or advancement. The New Living Translation says he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. As the Son of God, he had every right to be served rather than to serve, but he willingly set those things aside. In Philippians 2:7, Paul goes on to say, "He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." It's very specific language that Paul uses there. He set aside his rights when he came into the world, and he came as a servant. Why did he do that? Why would he set aside those things? I mean, because we hear all sorts of things about rights. And rights are good. I mean, we should fight for those types of things. But why would Jesus, I mean, if anybody had rights, it was Jesus. Why would he set those things aside? Well, he answered that question in a very vivid demonstration right before he's arrested, right before he goes to the cross. As he comes together with his disciples in the upper room at the Passover together. It's a very familiar story. It's one of my favorite stories in the gospel. Now, it was customary in that day and culture that when you entered someone's house, wash your feet. Or sandals, they didn't have two layers of socks and stuff like that. And you actually do that if you were coming together for a meal. 90% of the time, it would be the work of a servant. It would be the job of a servant to do that. But apparently, in this situation, there were no servants available or nothing. They were in a borrowed room, so that kind of makes sense. And so Jesus and his disciples, really, they sat down to have a meal together before any of this, before it took place. So they sit down to have a meal with dirty feet, which there's all sorts of stuff in this story that we could unpack that I would love to do this morning. I'll come back to it at some point. And then we read in John 13. He got up from the meal, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. When he had washed his feet, put on his clothes, I Out, I have done this as Lord and teacher, which is what I am, still is, wasn't just then, he still is. I have done this as an example for you, that you should do the same for each other. So that's what Jesus did. He set an example for us to follow. It should have been the disciples that washed Jesus' feet. But he sets the example. Now jump back to Philippians 2. And we read verse 7, but we're going to back up a couple verses in verse 5 when we get a bigger picture of what Paul says here in Philippians 2. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I find it that where that passage starts, Paul sets a very specific context. In your relationships with each other. This isn't just in general have this. No, he sets it specifically. Because he knows this is going to be the hardest place to carry this out, is when you're dealing with other human beings. You need to have the same attitude as Jesus. That's where it starts. You don't make this up on your own. We have an example. We don't just have an example. He has made provision to put that into us. In your relationships, you should have the same attitude that your Lord and teacher had. He set an example for us. Why should you care about serving others? Because first, that's what Jesus did. And if we are called to be formed and shaped into the image of Christ, not only individually, but as a body, that's going to mean that it's going to involve us taking on the same attitudes, the same mindsets as Jesus had, who set aside his very rights as the creator of John, there is nothing that you see that was made without Jesus. Nothing. The Son was involved in everything. He came to earth. You know what he did? He immediately set that stuff aside. He became a servant. He set the example. Take on the same attitudes as Jesus. He set the example for us that we should do as he did. Specifically in those relationships that we have with one another. And he not only set the example for us, again, he's made provision for this stuff to happen because you know what else he did? We're going to go back and look at this Ephesians passage again. It's that he's given us gifts for service. He not only called us to do it, he gave us the stuff that we were going to need to pull this off. Look at that Ephesians 4 passage again. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. He's the one who's dished this out and given this out. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers to equip people so that the whole of each one of us, these people over here, but to serve him and his church. Each one of us has certain talents and skills and abilities that we can use to serve God. And one of the ways we do that is through serving his body. On top of that, he's also given us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are special gifts given to believers through the Holy Spirit for the specific purpose of serving the church. So you may be a creative person, but there's a specific spiritual way that God has gifted you to use that. And as the Holy Spirit has freedom to move and work in your life, you can start seeing how that works out. But whether we're talking about gifts, but you may not be aware what those are, or your natural skills, here's the important thing to understand about all of those things. You didn't make up any of those things yourself. Every single one of those things is a gift of God to you. And it's a gift of God to you that you bear the responsibility as part of His body to use for His glory and for the building up of each other. This passage goes on to talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, when some people read that, they get the mistaken idea that those are the only five groups of people that do the work in the church. That's not the case. All of us are called to work within the church. Look at that passage again, because what does he say, those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and that group, those five, that they're supposed to do? They are to equip his people for works of service. Now, obviously, as a pastor, a large part of my calling is to do ministry work. But I'm not the only one who's called to do ministry work in the church. Part of my calling is to equip you to do that. Now, I know I can do better at that. I'm very aware. That's why one of these is, this is a specific one that I am looking at and focusing on. How well am I doing that for you? My calling, and other pastors as well, is to prepare and equip you as God's people to do the work of ministry, to equip you for works of service. We may have one pastor in this church, but we have many ministers. If you are a Christian, if you are a part of the body of Christ, you are a minister. We talk a lot on the district. Reverend Brock likes to talk about this. You are commissioned. You got a commission from God as a minister. Jesus gave it to us. You go and do. You got permission from Jesus. I don't know that you need much more than that, than permission. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Every single one of us. Now, I know some people are thinking, well, I can't teach the Bible. I can't sing. I don't like to get up in front of people. How could I possibly serve in the church? Well, I'm glad I asked that question. Everyone can do something. Everyone needs to do something. I want to jump ahead. We're going to get to that in just a second. God has given you gifts for works of service. Now, if you take a look at the insert in your bulletin, this is why it was so important for you to grab one of these. There's a whole list on that. And that's not even exhaustive. At the bottom I put, and many more. Those are a portion of the areas that you can serve in the church. Those don't involve anything like this, but are just as important. And there are all sorts of people who would love to talk to you about serving in one or more of those areas. If you talk to them, I would love to talk to you. I would love to get you connected. The point is this, just look at this. Everyone can do something. God has given gifts for service, and He expects that you to use them in the service of the church so that we will all grow up. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, I'm growing up. I'm a year older now. It's growing old and growing up. Remember, what we are talking about in this series is the importance of becoming a healthy, growing, and vibrant church, which is made up of healthy, growing, and vibrant Christians. And the only way that either one of those things happen is that for every single one of us to fulfill the purposes we've been created and gifted for. We have all been equipped and gifted to help the body to look, act, and sound and move more and more like Jesus. In other words, why do we serve? Well, we serve so we will all be like Jesus. That's why we do these things. Paul says that all of this building up is for what? For Christ's body. For how long? For as long as it takes for us to have so much unity of faith and knowledge of Christ that people don't know where the head starts and where the body begins. They don't know where we start and where we look so much like Jesus that when people see us, that's who they see. In other words, it's another way of saying until Jesus comes and fixes this whole thing, it really makes it all Jesus. Which also means that as long as we have breath in our lungs and as long as we're part of the body of Christ, we've got something to do. We've been gifted. I love how Sandy testifies that she's not here today, but she testifies, you know what? If I'm here and God's got me here, there's somebody He wants me to bless. There's somebody He wants me to serve. I love that. We should all have that attitude. That's the attitude of Jesus. We've got work to do in a place that God wants us to serve. Look at verse 16 again in Ephesians 4. From Him, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is an illustration Paul uses often. The human body is kind of a picture of the body of Christ. The human body is joined and held together by all sorts of ligaments and muscles and things like that. And every part in that body is important. Although apparently you can do without your gallbladder and your appendix and all of those things, so we don't know how important those are. But each part is important. And unless each part does its work and does its part, somewhere else is going to suffer. If the eyes and hands and legs all decide to break, something's going to happen to the rest of the body. The body of Christ can only grow, it can only function in a healthy manner, it can only be vibrant as each part works to build the other parts up, as each part does its own work. Which means that everyone needs to do their part. There's an old maxim, but it's probably very current. There's an old maxim that in the typical church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's the 20-80 rule. You'll hear that. I've been in a few churches over my life, and I would say that that's pretty accurate. It's more true in some churches than others, but that's somewhere in there. Unfortunately, two things happen when 20% of the people do 80% of the work. The first thing is the church never fulfills its potential. Never. If you put in 20% of the effort that you have into something that you want to be good at, you're never going to reach your potential in that. And so what often happens is there's a lot of things in the church that get left undone, or never even started or dreamt of. New ministries that might have sprung up, they never see the light of day because the church is just struggling to keep up with the basic things that it's supposed to do. And so the church never grows into maturity. It never reaches its potential. The second thing that happens, and this is the most apparent, I think if you don't reach your potential, you can kind of hide that and mask that in different ways. But this is the second thing that happens is that those 20% of the people that do all that work, they will eventually burn out and run down. We talked about the duty cycle of machines last week. It's the same when the 20% of the people do all of that work, eventually they're just going to wear out and the machine's going to break down. It's not easy for 20% to carry 80% of the load. In my experience, though, the people who are in that 20%, they carry the load cheerfully and without complaining because they love the church. They know that they have been called to serve. But man, if you asked them, and if they were really honest, they would say it would be so much easier if 30% helped. And they don't say that accusingly. They love the church. They want to see it prosper. They want to see it reach its potential. Now, obviously, we don't want the church doing less than what it was intended, and we don't want individual people doing more than they should. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is, and it's kind of easier said than done sometimes, is that every single one of us needs to do our part. Every single one of us should do what we are called to do in the body of Christ. The body of Christ can only function in a healthy manner if every part is doing what it is called and gifted to do. And that's what our second commitment is about. Commitment number two says this: with God's help, I commit to serving. And I could have edited this. My wife made a suggestion. So if you want to write these two words in on that, you can do that. I commit to serving in at least one ministry capacity in my church family. With God's help, I commit to serving in at least one ministry capacity in my church family. Now, some of you are saying, well, that's an easy commitment. I already serve in 12 different areas, ministry capacities. My prayer for you is that somebody would come along who would lessen that load for you. But others are not serving at all. And there are multiple reasons for this, and I want to address, because before you think that I'm throwing this out there as I'm saying this in a condemning kind of way, I'm not. A couple of the reasons could be, one is that we have not done a good job showing you all of the different areas you can get involved in the church. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but we need to do a better job. That's what this list that you have in your bulletin, that's one of the first steps, is to make you aware this is where you can get involved. Plus all of the things that we didn't catch on the list, or maybe the things that we haven't dreamt that God is calling us to. The second reason is because you might, and we talked about this last week, you might be on a different part of your journey as somebody else. This might not be something you've ever even thought of. Because again, God is bringing you along. That's why you're here this morning. You need to hear this message. Now this is not for about things in my life that I have not necessarily lived in willful disobedience to. But as soon as somebody gets my attention, I'm like, you know, I just never thought I need. And because of what God was doing in my life at the time, He gave me the grace and I was able to respond in obedience. And so maybe that's the step you need. That's something you need to think about and pray about. It's just something you never thought. You might be one of the ones, I don't even know what I can do in the church. Well, there's a list, and if you can't find it on there, I'll talk to you. The third reason, and this one might sting a little more, is that you're just living in disobedience. You know I need to be doing this, but I'm just not, and I don't have any excuse other than the fact that I'm just not doing it. You might fall into that category of, you know, it's just nice to come and have people do things for me. And you might be in a season of your life where that's the best way we can serve you. We'll walk with you through that. But that's where some of us might be in this. Some of us might be in your capacity, and I hope that will last. And I hope that this message today so far has shown you that you can and should serve in the body of Christ. Gifted you, He has equipped you, and if you don't know how He has done that, we've got resources to help you with that. There's all sorts of things. We are resourced beyond Scott Sherwood loves to say, we are resourced beyond our capacity for obedience. It's not a lack of resources, it's just a lack of, I just don't want to do it. Well, at least you're honest about that. And there are all sorts of different ways to serve. And if we all pitched in together, it would lighten the load for those who are carrying the 80%. And it would help us all to flourish and grow up and be mature and look more and more like Jesus. It would open up new opportunities for those who haven't quite found their place in the body to step in and be used by God. But in order for any of that, we all have to be willing. We all have to be doing our part. So my question, are you ready for commitment? As we pray here in just a moment, you'll have an opportunity to do that. And then I will say three things. The first is to share this. Share that commitment with someone else. If you met last week and shared with someone, share that you be the same person. And it's always good to have someone in our life, not to keep an eye out for us and point your finger when we get wrong, but different perspectives that we want on this journey. So share that with someone. The second thing I would encourage you to do is you may commit to that and not have any idea what else. That's okay. God, He'll fill in the details. Maybe your next right step is to just make the commitment. God wants, if you're willing to do this, I'll show you where to go. I will put people in your life. I will direct you to someone. I will direct someone to you that can lead you to where it is that you need to be involved. Look at that list in the bulletin and identify maybe a couple of ways that you could get involved. Think of the gifts or the talents that you know you have and kind of pray through how might God use those things in His church. We want to pray about these things. We don't try to figure these things on our own. We want God to guide us. We want to hear from Him. And then kind of check off maybe a couple of the ones. I didn't even know we did that. That might be something I think God is leading me to. Ask God where He would have you serve. And then third, take the next right step. There's a lot of right steps in these, you know. Choose one area to serve and then do it. Talk to me. If there's not any names listed on there, but if you want to know people to talk to, if you're interested in missions, you can talk to Annette Reith. She would love to talk to you about being involved in that. If you're interested in hospitality or serving or things like that, Martha Danielson and Matt Collins. Buildings and Grounds. If you see Harry and Mike out here, and you think, man, those guys look hot. They are, because it has been warm. And you can help out or see where you can help. We'd love to talk to you. Mike and Chris Cook, our trustees, they kind of oversee those things. Sunday School, Janice Collins, Youth, Christine Castile, there's all sorts of others. The worship team, you could talk to any one of the three girls up here. We would love to have conversations, or Esther, we would love to have conversations with you about those things. Or if you're just not sure, I would love to journey with you through that. Where is it that God has for me to serve? Or if you see somebody doing something, you think, oh, I'm kind of interested in that. Talk to them about it. I haven't encountered anyone in this church that will bite. They would love to have you help, I'm sure. They might be some of the 20% that's carrying that 80%. Talk to them, but get involved. And again, it begins having the same attitude as Jesus. If you think you're going to create that attitude all you're not. Because left to ourselves, we're just going to keep coming up with excuses on why we're too busy, why we're not good enough, why we're not skilled enough. But if we let the Holy Spirit have His way, and we let Him write the attitude of Jesus in our minds and hearts, He's going to start messing with places where our lives individually together are looking more and more and more like the Jesus who we claim to worship, who we commit to come regularly as a part of our rhythm of life, coming together with the rest of our church body to worship. If we are serving that, our lives are going to look more and more like that body, and the body is going to look more and more like Jesus. God has given each one of us gifts for service, and we all need to do our part. You bow your heads with me. You may not know right now what that area looks like that God might be calling you to serve. You might be serving in an area that you see in someone else. Oh, this is what they're gifted for. Maybe God is calling you to go to someone to open up a door for them to serve. They've been looking, they just can't find it. Maybe God will use you to go to that person. That's another form of serving the body of Christ, as we encourage, as we walk alongside, as we pray for, as we equip, as we just love each other with the love of Jesus. It's through that we are built together as a body that looks more and more like Jesus. Heavenly Father, that's part of this. We don't want to just do things because we can say we did something. We want to do what you have called us to do, what you have equipped us to do. Sometimes that's going to involve us stepping out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it's going to involve us developing skills we weren't even aware we had. For some of us, the best way we can serve in the church is to let go of something that we've been holding on to that you might have someone else you want to bless and use in that capacity. But whatever that context is in each of our lives, whether this is a first-time commitment we're making, whether we're renewing our commitment, maybe we're re-examining our commitment to serve, may you open our... We want to hear from you. We want you to guide and direct. And if you need to bring somebody else along in our lives to help us see that, soften our hearts and give us ears to hear what you say through them. If we're one of the ones that think, you know what, maybe God is leading me to someone else to encourage them in this, may you give us the words of grace and love and seasoned with salt that would give that you would use that to plant the desire for someone to get involved. This commitment can look all sorts of different ways, and in whatever way that needs to look in our lives, may you make that abundantly clear to us. And through all of this, may you not just lead each of us to these areas you might have us serve. Maybe there's things through this that you're going to lead us to that we've never even thought of. Things that we didn't even think were possible. But with your grace and your empowerment and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, you want to do in and through this church, but it's going to take a commitment of each and every one of us with your help, with your grace, for the entire body to be built up and mature and look more and more like Jesus as we build each other up in love with the attitude that Christ Jesus had. So if you need to change our attitude, do that. If you need to soften our hearts, whatever it is that you need to do, we want to all be about the building up of the body of Christ for the glory of God. Because you've chosen this instrument to be your source of contact, how you communicate, how you demonstrate your love. You've chosen us. You've chosen the church. So may we take that responsibility and that calling seriously. And may, with your grace, may we do everything in our lives possible to see that come to its full fruition, to bear fruit, to reach our full potential with you as our head. Speak to each one of us about what this might look like, Lord. And as we do so, may you give us the grace to step out in obedience. And may you receive all of the glory through what you do, through all of us. We love you and pray these things in your name.